Welcome to Entertaining a Conversation, the podcast where we always entertain conversations about things that are entertaining. I'm your host, Mr. Sir Guys. Thank you so much. Thank you for being patient. Jeez, I'm 2 days late this week. You know, I'm not going to get into it. There's some stuff happening. There are some changes coming. I know I say that a lot. And quite frankly, I'm tired of telling people that that I'm not doing well. So I'm not going to. And I'm going to just get better. And that's what I've been doing. I've been getting better. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it takes time. And sometimes when you don't have the resources, which I will get, it takes a bit more time. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm 2 days late. I'm doing fine. Don't worry about me. I'm doing great. To be honest, I was scouring the internet on Sunday and looking for some news to discuss with you guys, and there was nothing. There was absolutely nothing newsworthy. So I was kind of left perplexed. And I was wondering what I was going to do, and I was trying to figure out something to do, and then I was like, okay, well, maybe if I wait another day, maybe something will happen that I can discuss. And it did, but, you know, it didn't. I still don't have enough material for a full episode, and I don't have a lot of reviews this week. I only have one. So I was thinking, look, I'm gonna just try to, I'm kind of fly off the cuff here. This is my last episode before I take a break for a week. Next week, I've been saying I'm not gonna do a podcast. I'm gonna take a break, refocus on social media, finish my reviews, start, you know, working on other ideas for this podcast because it's not going anywhere. God damn it! And I wanted to do something a little different this week. So we're going to get into the news. I'm not going to have any sponsors. I'm not going to have any fancy music or anything. We're just going to go right off. Because there's not, to be honest, there's not that many news. We're just going to get right to it. I have five little tidbits of news for you guys. So here's the first one. By a nearly unanimous margin, the IATSE members, so that's a union in film were in TV workers, so members in TV and film production, vote to authorize a nationwide strike. It is very common that people who work on movie sets have extenuous and sometimes inhuman, not sometimes, most of the time inhuman working conditions. And as much as it would sadden me to not have movies, I think we have to think of the bigger picture and not be selfish here. I think these people deserve better working conditions. I think they deserve a break. And if a strike happens, and I hope a strike can be avoided. I hope that, you know, they can come to an agreement of some sort. But if a strike happens and it's for the best for these people, I think we should do our best to support them. And sorry about that. I warned you. And I think we should do our best to support them and not be selfish about it and just, you know, just think about our precious movies. So good luck to you, film workers. I'm behind you, as little as that matter. And I hope you get better working conditions because you truly deserve them. And thank you. I think this is a good opportunity to say that, but also thank you for making great movies, and for making movies at all, you know, for us to enjoy. Thank you so much, and I hope everything goes your way. Moving on, Scarlett Johansson and Disney settled their explosive Black Widow lawsuit. I took that quote directly from a Reddit post. I'm sorry. Scarlett Johansson and Disney settled their lawsuit. I mean, okay, good. I hope this means Scarlett is satisfied with what Disney got. I know Disney did announce that the rest of the movies this year will, the rest of their slate in 2021 will have a theatrical window. So we'll have an exclusive theatrical window. And I think that's what Scarlett was fighting for at the end of the day. And I hope Disney doesn't take this opportunity to screw over other people. But I hope this means that for future movies, I hope that they're not going to lean so heavily on the Disney Plus, unless they make movies for Disney Plus, which, you know, they're more than allowed to. But if we are getting out of this. I'm not saying we're getting out of the pandemic, but we are getting out of this movie theater being closed phase of the pandemic. I think they're going to stay open at this point. I think we cannot go back to closing everything. Our economy would just collapse. So I think at the end of the day, I think movie theaters are going to stay open. So I don't think we're going to go back to the day and date release on Disney Plus and in theaters like Black Widow had. So I think I don't think this was going to be a recurring thing either way, but the fact that we're sure now or that Scarlett Johansson and Disney were able to settle a lawsuit based on that means that perhaps we have a confirmation that it's not going to happen again. So, you know, I'm all for the theatrical experience. I hope that Disney stay true to their word, and I hope that they give all of their movies theatrical windows so that they can perform in movie theaters and that they can be experienced on the big screen, because that's where they deserve to be experienced, damn it. Moving on, J.K. Simmons has been cast as a murderous sociopath in a thriller movie called The Woods. Not much to say about that. I don't know anything about that movie. All I'm going to say is J.K. Simmons as a murderous sociopath. Have you seen J.K. Simmons in Whiplash? Think about that character. Think about that Oscar-winning character that he portrayed. And think of him as an even bigger sociopath that murders people. Aren't you sold already? Just J.K. Simmons as a murderer. I'm all in. And if a thriller movie, I can't wait. Thrillers are my favorite types of movies. I can't wait. I don't know anything else about this movie, so I guess we're going to find out as it goes who else is going to be cast in it, who's what the movie's going to look like and whatnot. But I think this is pitch-perfect casting for the little that we have. Moving on, another official trailer was released for Netflix's movie called Tick Tick Boom, which is the directorial debut of one Lin-Manuel Miranda. It's about Jonathan Larson, the writer who wrote Rent, the play, the New York, the Broadway play Rent. So it's a movie about his life and about his struggle to make Rent a thing, and his personal struggles. And Andrew Garfield is playing the titular character. I'm not gonna edit any of this out, by the way. You guys are stuck with this edition of the podcast. I'm not doing any work on it. I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks, so, you know, just be merciful. So Tick Tick Boom is a Netflix production. It is going to be released exclusively in theaters in November, and then a week after on Netflix. And the trailer, if I'm being honest, kind of disappointed me, because the teaser that we got, the under a minute teaser that we got earlier on, this year, made it look more like the story of someone with a very serious mental issue, not a mental issue. I don't mean it that way. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend anyone. What I mean is, like, he seems to, like, if you look at the teaser, he seems like he's struggling with, I don't know what the condition is, but he always hears a ticking sound in his head, and that made it seem like he was going to struggle with that. And that, I feel like that was, from the teaser at least, that was the main focus of the story. And if you look at the trailer, it's more of a, well, how much did he struggle to make it? It's like a rags to riches type of story where that's what it looks like. It looks like someone who, you know, the old, like, underdog story he was denied 15,000 times, and then like the one time he made it work, it ended up being a huge success, and he went from the underdog to the success story. You know, that type of story. That's what the trailer looks like, and it disappointed me because we have enough of these. We have a lot of these stories. These stories are told at least once a year. And I don't think I'd have to think, but it's probably already been told this year. I feel like the teaser made it look like a more unique movie than the trailer did, and for that I'm bummed out. But you know, I'm willing to give it a shot. Andrew Garfield is a tremendous, tremendous actor, and I'm excited to see what Lin-Manuel Miranda does directing his first feature film. I'm willing to give it a shot because obviously we don't know, right? We don't know if we're gonna get the teaser version of the movie or the trailer version of the movie. So I guess we'll find out, and I hope it's the former. And last little bit of news here, we're gonna clear that. Michael B. Jordan, his production company called Outlier Society, cool name by the way, joins forces with Sony to produce a feature film adaptation of the Broken Earth fantasy novel series, and they want to make it a franchise. So I read up a bit on the Broken Earth fantasy novel series. It seems like there's a lot of meat in the bone with a story like that. I feel like they like from what I read, it's like Lord of the Rings type of epic. I believe it's a science fiction movie about like a different, it's a fantasy, right? It's a fantasy novel series. Yeah, so it's a different type of vibe on the Earth. It's like the Earth goes through different climate changes, which, you know, is probably not too far off from what we're going through, you'll say, sure. But like I read a bit about it, and it's about like a different type of, it's about what the Earth would be if blah blah blah, like it's a different, it's an alternate universe version of the Earth. That's what I want to say. There's three huge books, you know, in that series, I believe. And there's a lot to explore there. So I hope this, I hope they want to make it a franchise. I'm assuming they're going to be movies. I hope these movies are awesome, and we'll see when that happens. Just stay aware for more news about that. So we're done with the news. See, that lasted us a whole 12 minutes. I wasn't going to do 12 minutes worth of podcasting and then just, you know, sorry, my back hurts. I wasn't just going to give it a rest and then, you know, 12 minutes and that's it. So I was going to, what I wanted to do is just go through real quick my top 10 of the year so far, because I think it's very funny if you're comparing it to my top 10 of 2020, like the entire year. I feel like it's 2021 is already significantly better, and I know that there are some movies that are going to even break the top 10 that I haven't even seen yet. I'm seeing No Time to Die at the end of the week. So, you know, and Dune is coming out, and Last Night in Soho, and all these movies I've been really hyped about. So I'm going to go through the top 10 of my year so far, and I'm going to go through a couple movies that I think will probably break the top 10 by the time the year is over. And then I'll tell you about my top 10 last year so we can compare. So here we go. So number 10 this year so far for me is Black Widow. Black Widow is a fun little Marvel movie. Was it the best Marvel movie ever? No, not by a long shot, but it was good. It felt good to see Black Widow in theaters. It was the first Marvel movie back in theaters, and it felt like a big deal at a time where movie theaters were struggling. And it felt like a breath of fresh air to be able to see Black Widow on the big screen. And I enjoyed it. I think that it was a good send-off for Scarlett. And for Natasha's character, I think it's a good way to introduce a new character in Florence Pugh's character moving forward. Elena, she's probably going to be part of the whole universe at this point, and this was a good way to introduce her and how she has a relation to an existing Marvel character. I think the ties between the characters were really well explained, and the whole backstory was very interesting. And even if the action sequences were sometimes a bit exaggerated, and you can even say silly, I think it was a success. I think that movie really kicked ass. Number nine for me is Zola. Zola is a movie that you, every 5 minutes or so, you are looking at the screen and you are like, I cannot believe this is happening. I literally cannot believe this is happening. It's a story that just gets crazier and crazier and crazier and crazier, and it just shocks you from beginning to end. It never feels like it's not exaggerated. It never feels like it's too crazy to be real. You know, at the end of the day, you know that it's a true story, and you believe it's a true story. You just can't believe it actually happened. It's and it's super well acted. Coleman Domingo in that movie was just outstanding. It's one of my favorite performances this year. Yeah, Zola, you know, is shot beautifully. The grain looks nice. It's a movie that I recommend to anybody. But as long as you're not a sensitive person. Number eight for me is 9 Days. 9 Days is a science fiction movie, but it's the least science fiction looking movie I've ever seen in that genre, ever. It looks like a drama, but it's a science fiction movie. It's about a man who judges souls before they inhabit a body on earth and live a life. So it's like between, it's like before birth, like essentially this man like judges whether or not you're a worthy soul to inhabit a body, a human body. And I'm not gonna say more than that because I feel like I'm doing a disservice to all of you if I do go into it. But it's a beautiful, beautiful movie with a really, really nice message and really compelling characters. And Winston Duke, man, that guy, Winston Duke, you guys might know him as M'Baku from the Black Panther movies, or as, he's in the movie Us, the Jordan Peele movie Us. He's the father in the family with Lupita Nyong'o. He's the father, Winston Duke. He's terrific, terrific in that film. And it really made me see him in a completely different light. And Benedict Wong is also amazing. Zazie Beetz is great. Bill Skarsgård is really good in that film. You know, Bill Skarsgård from Pennywise fame. He played Pennywise in the It movies. Great, great, great film. I know it's a slower movie, so I don't know if I would recommend it to everybody, but if you enjoy auteur cinema, you have to see it. It's one of the best movies in that type of genre this year. Number seven for me is A Quiet Place Part 2. Very, very, very great, very good sequel, very good follow-up to Part 1. I'd say it's probably even better than Part 1 in some respects. I loved Millicent Simmons' act, her whole arc, I mean, with Cillian Murphy, and Emily Blunt was great as always. The bear trap scene, the dog scene, everything like was just so well made. The only thing I have to say bad about that movie is how they ended it. It's like they ended an episode of TV where it's like, tune in next week. But I'm sure we're gonna get a part 3, which is good. And I'll be first in line to go see it. Quiet Place Part 2 is my number 7. Number 6 would be The Green Knight. No, that's the that movie is the definition of it's not for everybody. The Green Knight is a movie that tells the story of a... it's in the medieval times, and it's about this guy, Sir Gawain. And he is... he wants to be a knight. Well, I don't believe he's officially a knight, but because he hasn't been on this grand quest yet, and he hasn't, he hasn't had an adventure yet, that has made him, you know, brave enough to be a knight and whatnot. And then at one point, this I'm not gonna say creature, but this this green knight shows up, and he. And he essentially challenges somebody, and then Gawain steps up, and he You know what? I'm not gonna say more than that. I think you just have to go in blind. It's a really, really different movie. Like, if this is the type of movie that's not for everybody. I've seen it twice. I'm probably going to see it again. The more often I watch that movie, the more I appreciate it, and that's what I respect so much about that film. Every time you watch it, I'm not gonna say you get something different, because I got it from the start. I got the whole story, but every time you watch it, you learn something new about the lessons that this movie can teach you. It's a really, really fantastic experience. I love it. Not for everybody, so I wouldn't recommend it to everybody. But if you like good, if you're impressed with good cinematography, and you're willing to give it a shot, you might. If you like it, you'll love it. That's all I'm gonna say. So The Green Knight, my number 6 so far. Number 5 would be Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. God, such a great Marvel film with amazing, amazing action sequences that were filmed better than I've seen a lot of fight sequences filmed before. And the whole, the martial arts aspect of it, the choreographies, the whole thing. It was basically like Marvel doing Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or Hero, and it looked beautiful. Simu Liu was great. Awkwafina was great. Tony Leung was outstanding. Michelle Yeoh was amazing, and it's fun to see Michelle Yeoh in that movie, because she was obviously in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. It's the most different Marvel movie I've seen so far, and I'm all for it. I'm all for Marvel exploring more stuff and expanding their palette, shall I say, and doing other stuff. Like, this was a legitimate kung fu movie from Marvel, and it was awesome. With some fantasy aspects, of course, Marvel going to Marvel. But the experience of seeing that film in a theater packed and just witnessing Marvel doing something different than what they've done so far was awesome. Really enjoyed Shang-Chi. Number 5 for me. Number 4 would be Coda, the one and only film I believe this year to make me cry. It's a beautiful, beautiful story about a girl that has a deaf family. She's the only one that is not deaf in her family, and she has to and she has a beautiful singing voice, and she wants to become a singer, but her family needs her to help with the family business because they're deaf, and they need her to negotiate with people, because they have a fishing they run a fishing boat. So she's torn between helping her family and pursuing her dream. And it's just a beautifully acted movie. It's, at the end of the day, it does sound like a drama, but at the end of the day, it's a very much a coming of age movie as well, with obviously themes of family and love, but also the recurring theme, the French is coming out of me, ladies and gentlemen. The common theme that we find in coming of age films, where it's how did the parents cope with the idea that their kid might be flying out of the nest, and that's amplified tenfold in this film, because obviously the parents not only love their daughter but also depend on her. So sorry about that. So it gives it a different dimension. I know it is a remake of a French film called La Famille Bélier. I have not seen that French film. It's in my plans for sure. But what I will say is, from seeing Coda, I very much understand all the hype from was it Sundance? I believe it was Sundance, yeah. The Sundance Film Festival hyped up that movie, and obviously Apple purchased it. I think that film was outstanding as its own. Forget about the remake. on its own, it's an outstanding film. And if you have Apple TV Plus, I implore you to watch it. It's a fantastic, fantastic film. CODA, C-O-D-A, which stands for Child of Deaf Adults, by the way. The more you know. Number three for me is Free Guy, the Ryan Reynolds-led blockbuster action family movie that we got this year about a NPC character from a video game, so a computer essentially, growing a conscience in the video and helping out actual players. that's a way to put that movie, I guess. It's about essentially like a background character in a video game that's like grows a conscience, and like it's about an AI that starts doing whatever they want in the game, and that causes chaos but also helps people who want to take the game down, because the game is because the person who can Taika Waititi, the person who conceptualized the game, first of all stole the code from the people who are trying to take the game down, so they get the help. How the hell am I messing up this description? Go see Free Guy. It's in movie. It's in theaters. I believe it's going to come out on VOD soon, if it's not already on VOD. It's Ryan Reynolds. It's funny as hell. It's blockbuster movie done right. It's directed by Montreal's own Sean Levy, who's just a fantastic, fantastic director for these types of films. A fantastic studio director. He's directed The Night at the Museum movies. He's directed Real Steel. Yeah, this is where I leave you. He's made some really, really fun films. And this is probably one of his best, if not his best. So Free Guy, blockbuster movie done right. It's a blast from start to finish. It's I've seen it three times now, and I don't get bored. So it's my number three. I'm so happy because that film felt like it got delayed and delayed and delayed. And at a certain point, people were like, well, why don't you just dump it on Disney Plus? Like at this point, because I feel like nobody really expected much from that film, but it was surprisingly, surprisingly amazing. I'm just gonna say it right there. It's an amazing film. Watch it. Free Guy is great. Great, great, great film. Number two for me is Pig. With Nicolas Cage. I have been championing this movie since it came out, and was my number one until my number one dethroned it. Pig is it's a different movie for Nicolas Cage, and I don't think that man can do anything different than what he's like at this point. He's done so many different things, but Pig is a one-of-a-kind movie. It's a revenge story without all the violence. It's a very unique film. I have not gone back to watch it a second time yet. I don't know why, but I really want to, because that ending, I feel like when that ending comes in the first time, you're just not ready for it. And like it's completely subverts, like you're so engrossed in the climax of that story that you forget to really think about, like, it just instantly makes you forget about whatever happened before. It's about grief, it's about loss, you know, loss of a friend, it's about betrayal, it's about it's strangely also about passion and about empathy. And about it's also about the restaurant business in a way, and how a lot of people feel like the restaurant industry might suck the soul out of people. And you know, there are scenes in that film, the dialogue in that film is just magnificent, and it's not the craziest Nicolas Cage you're going to see. You know, we're all used to Nicolas Cage going nuts in his films. This is a very subdued performance from him, although at sometimes he has bursts of very, very exteriorized emotion, I guess. But it's his best performance in his career. I'm willing to die on that hill. I think Nick Cage is phenomenal in that film. I think Alex Wolff is also amazing in that film. I think it's it's that movie, and I'm calling it now. It's for sure going to end on my top five this year. I can tell you, I don't know whether Shang-Chi or whether Coda, whether Free Guy is going to stay there. I can tell you my number one and my number two in Pig are going to, they're going to be in my top five by the end of the year. I'm sure of it. And it's not a movie that not a lot of people know about. But I implore you to watch it. If you, I don't care who you are, I don't care what your preferences are, I think you should absolutely watch Pig. And make your mind up for yourself. And I promise you, you're going to enjoy it. I promise you, you're going to find something in that film that either moves you or, you know, touches you in one way or another. Beautiful, beautiful film. Also, heartbreaking film. Just, I can't say enough good things about Pig. Yeah. So Pig is my number two. Number one, and I don't think it's a surprise for anybody who's listening to this and who knows about my love and affection for this film, my number one is The Suicide Squad. I love that movie. I still love that film. I put it on when I have nothing to put on, if I'm being honest. Like, I'll go through a bunch of films that... I go through a bunch of films. I'll go through my Crave. I'll go through my Netflix. I'll go through Amazon Prime, and I'll just end up going back on Crave. Not anymore, but it was when it was there. I'd just go back on Crave, put Suicide Squad. Crave is the host for HBO Max, and I have one thing on my Christmas list this year, and it's the Blu-ray for that film. I love the Suicide Squad so much. And I know I sound like a nerd right now. I'm not really giving out many reasons why I love that film. I love James Gunn. I love that whole balls to the wall mentality he has in his films. I love the rated R aspect. I love the violence, as sadistic as it is. I love everybody's character arc. I love the script. I love the dialogue. I love the jokes. The characters are all so very compelling. I love that John Cena is in it, and John Cena is a guy I've been, you know, a fan of since he started wrestling in 2002 in a match against Kurt Angle on SmackDown, when he had ruthless aggression and almost beat Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle is my favorite wrestler of all time, and I know we're going off on a tangent here, but yeah, I love that Cena kills it in the Suicide Squad. I love the whole mission. There's not a bad thing I can say about that film. Are there flaws? Is it a perfect film? Are there flaws? Yes. Is it a perfect film? No. It is my favorite film this year, and I cannot stop. Whenever somebody asks me, like, what movie should I watch, this is my go-to at this point, The Suicide Squad. And I cannot wait for I believe it's at the end of the month when it comes out on Blu-ray. I was obviously joking about the Christmas list, but I was not, because I'm going to go myself and purchase it. I'm not gonna wait for Christmas. I'm gonna get it, watch the special features, and watch the movie on Blu-ray disc all the time, because that's all I want to do. I love that film. I know, and we're gonna go through a couple of more movies here that I haven't seen yet. There are movies in that top 10 that are going to move. Some of these movies are not going to make it. But I know that The Suicide Squad and Pig are going to be in it. I can tell you that much. I know Free Guy is going to be in it, probably not in the top 5. I think all the rest are subject to change, if I'm being honest. But I know that The Suicide Squad, although may not be number one, it'll be in the top three. I'm sure it'll be in the top three. I love that movie so much. So that's my top 10. And I thought it was worth, just before going diving into the other movie, I think it's worth going through my top 10 of last year. 2020 was a strange year, so we didn't get as many movies. Everybody knows that. But if we look, I'm not going to go through every single movie, don't worry. I'm just going to name them. So number 10 was Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which is a Netflix movie. My number 9 was Sound of Metal. My number 8 was The Five Bloods. My number 7 was The King of Staten Island. My number... My number 7 was The King of Staten Island. Number 8 was The Five Bloods. 7, King of Staten Island. Sorry. Number 6 was The Gentleman. My number 5 was Mank. My number 4 was Soul. My number 3 was The Trial of the Chicago 7. My number 2 was The Invisible Man. And number 1 was Palm Springs. I think it's funny that I love Palm Springs. I love The Invisible Man. I love these films. But I think that by the time this year ends, it's going to be comically hilarious just how little, just how much better the list of 2021 is going to be than the list of 2020. And that's not to slight any movie that came out last year. Thank you. Thank you for releasing all these movies last year and getting us out of boredom. But with all due respect, I think it's going to be hilarious. I think my number 10... I don't know. I'm thinking about it. I don't know. But I think there's a strong chance that my number 10 at the end of 2021 is going to be a movie that I enjoyed more than Palm Springs, which is my number 1 last year. And I loved Palm Springs. I just think that this year, mind you, this year is all the movies that were supposed to come out last year. Granted, yes. It's just an observation. I'll do another top 10 at the end of the year once I've seen everything. And I believe the last movie to come out this year, the last big movies are The Kingsman, and The Matrix Resurrections, and also Spider-Man No Way Home. So after all these movies have come out, I'm going to see them and I'm going to make another top 10. And if it's not a Monday, if I don't have it, yeah, well, I'll do it the next month, the Monday after. So whether it's still... in December or in January, the beginning of January, my very first episode of the year, or my very last episode of the year, depending, will be another top 10, and we'll compare notes. I'll keep this one in mind. If we look at movies that haven't come out this year that are, you know, that have a lot of potential to crack my top 10, No Time to Die, obviously, I'm watching this week. Very, very excited to see that. I'm seeing it on Friday in IMAX. Can't wait for that. Obviously, Dune has... I'm sure Dune is going to end up in my top 5. Where? I don't know. It's going to be there, I'm sure. Last Night in Soho is another movie that I'm probably going to love. Last Night in Soho is Edgar Wright's new film. Eternals, the next Marvel movie, has a very good chance of making it. I think Ghostbusters Afterlife might have a chance. If we look at it, Licorice Pizza, the new Paul Thomas Anderson film. I don't know about the trailer. I'm not sure how I feel about it, but it's Paul Thomas Anderson, and that guy's made, you know, classics like There Will Be Blood, Inherent Vice, although I know a lot of people don't like that one. But, you know, Boogie Nights, Phantom Thread, you know, I'm definitely blanking, The Master, all these films. He does not miss. So I doubt he's going to miss with that one. So I'm probably going to love that movie, and it's probably going to make my top 10. So Licorice Pizza, look out for it. It's coming out November 26th. I think that Nightmare Alley, the new Guillermo del Toro, has a really strong chance of making it. I am not like a del Toro fanatic. I just think that he looks to have made something very, very special with this film. I love that trailer. Really, really intrigued by it. So I think, knowing myself, I think there's a strong chance that it ends up being one of my favorites this year. West Side Story, you know, it's Steven Spielberg, so anything Spielberg does has a fighting chance of cracking the top 10. Spider-Man No Way Home, so excited for that. That's probably going to make it. And like we mentioned, The Kingsman, Matrix Resurrections. I doubt, but you never know. So the top 10 is probably going to look, definitely going to look a lot different by the time that we talk about it. And there are other films, there are other sleeper films that we haven't talked about, you know, like Titan that I'm seeing this weekend. You know, the Wolf movie with George Mackay. Don't Look Up, The Adam McKay movie from Netflix with Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence, Meryl Streep, and all these people about all these, like, and I'm saying all these people, like, the most insane cast ever. And it's about, it's a movie about two astrophysicists trying to convince the president that, that there's a an asteroid crashing onto the Earth or some or something like that. That has the potential of doing really, really well. So I haven't talked about everything that's still yet to come out, but it's Oscar season, baby. And we have a lot left to we have a lot left to watch and a lot left to see. So I'm very, very sure that even though there's only 3 months left to the end of, to this year, to 2021, I am sure that my top 10 is going to look much, much different. And there's a lot of there's still a lot of surprises to come, like I said, to a lot of sleepers that I think are going to end up making it. So moving on, I just have one review for you guys this week, and it's the movie review for Venom: Let There Be Carnage. So that's the sequel to the movie, the 2018 movie Venom. I liked it. It's a very, first of all, I will say this. It's a leaps and bounds better than the first Venom movie. I didn't enjoy the first one that much. I think there's a lot of useless, how can I say? There's a lot of useless things, a lot of useless mythology about the character of Venom that gets brought on for absolutely no reason. There are a lot of scenes. There's a lot of fat on that movie that needed to be trimmed. There are scenes where you just see symbiotes moving around and we have no context, no reason. Like, I really didn't enjoy the first Venom movie. I think this one, for all intents and purposes, they definitely cut the fat. They definitely trimmed the fat from that one. It is a movie that lasts an hour and 26 minutes. It's a very, very lean and short movie by today's standards, especially by superhero or comic book movie standards. I have to admit, I really laughed at the scenes where Eddie Brock and Venom were interacting and arguing with each other. There are a lot of funny moments. Is it a great movie? Is it a masterpiece? No, of course it's not a masterpiece, but it's enjoyable. I feel like this is the type of movie you should go see once you've seen everything. If you're bored out of your mind on a Tuesday night and you want to go to a cheap movie. I don't know if they do that where you are, but on Tuesdays here, they make movies half priced. Movie theaters show movies half priced. So I feel like that's the perfect type of movie for that type of evening. You know, like, just see a cheap movie. You've seen everything. Let's go see Venom 2. You're gonna have a fun time, and you're not going to regret it. Woody Harrelson is good in it. Naomi Harris is great in it, as always. You know, like, obviously there are some plot elements that are kind of convoluted and or don't really make sense. That's not what you go to see this movie for. Just shut your brain off and enjoy the ride. Don't think too much, because there are a lot of things that don't make sense. But you kind of, if you don't think about them too much, you're going to forget about them, because you're just so engrossed and so encapsulated by the by the characters and by their growth and by their interactions with each other. So yeah, Venom 2, I'll give it a solid 6.5 out of 10. Go see it. It's a fun little flick. Yeah, I recommend it for a cheap movie theater night. That's all the time we have for this week. So thank you for listening to me talk for 45 minutes. I didn't bring on any sponsors this week. I didn't do any music. I just went right for it. I honestly felt like, you know, there weren't enough news to go segment by segment here, so I just went off and I freestyled a little bit. I hope you guys liked it, and I'll see you. I will not talk to you again next week. I will talk to you again in 2 weeks. By that time, I will have seen No Time to Die. I will have seen Titan. I will have seen The Last Duel. I will have seen Halloween Kills. And there's a pretty good chance I will have seen Lamb as well. So we'll talk then. And the episode, so that will take us to 15, 16, 17, 17, the 18th. And then the week after that, which is very, very ironic, is going to be So it's the 25th of October is my 25th episode. And I will have seen Dune at that point and The French Dispatch. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet, but I'm going to prepare something really special because I'm happy I got to 25. And not a lot of people listen to the episode 25 of, say, the Joe Rogan Experience, for example. I still have long ways to go before this podcast gets the attention that I believe it deserves, but I'm happy to have you guys along for the ride. My faithful listeners, thank you so much for joining me every week. Thank you for all the encouragements that I get. I know I'm not on the scale of, say, Joe Rogan on for podcasts. I don't have the biggest podcast in the world, but I feel very passionate about it, and I'm glad to have you guys along, like I said. And none of this, and I know it's easy for someone like me to, for example, like give up or be dejected by the number of listeners that I have or the number of people that I reach. I'm not that way at all. I'm grateful, and I will just say that all the encouragements and all the support does not go unnoticed, and I am very, very appreciative for it. So thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to talk to you guys about movies every week. And I'm not saying goodbye. I sound like I'm saying goodbye. I'm not saying goodbye. This is just the beginning. But I just wanted to say thank you. And I'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks for episode 24. Good night. Or goodbye. Or good day. Whatever.